You're listening to the TriStar State. This episode is one of two extended interviews we're rolling out this week with the Democratic and Republican candidates for Tennessee governor. I'm Emily Seiner. Williamson County businessman Bill Lee has never held political office, but he says running the home services company that bears his name is preparation enough to lead Tennessee's executive branch. And after winning the Republican nomination for governor, Lee is just one step away from putting that theory to the test. So WPLN's Chaz Sisk interviewed Lee shortly before the primary election about which lessons from business really translate to government and how he plans to get up to speed to take the reins from Governor Bill Haslam if he's elected.
Okay, are we ready?
Early voting had already started when Bill Lee came into the WPLN studios, but he was still introducing himself to the voters.
I'm Bill Lee, and I am a seventh-generation Tennessean. So my family's been here 220 years.
His biography includes the Lee Company in Middle Tennessee, the loss of his first wife when he was in his early 40s, and his faith. And that's where the conversation between Chaz Sisk and Bill Lee starts.
I'm definitely a Christian. It's the most important thing in my life, and it's a worldview that I have. It also speaks a lot to why I'm even doing this. I'm an outsider, too. That's, as you mentioned, I don't have a record, and I don't have a political record, certainly. I have a record of leadership. I have a record of executive leadership, and this is the executive branch of government. I think the most important kind of experience for this job is executive leadership. So I am a conservative businessman. But I'm certainly a person who thinks leadership is important, bringing people together without compromising your beliefs, your core beliefs. So I think you can be a conservative and you yet can lead a group of people. We do it in business all the time. You pull together people with competing interests and put them at the table and cast a vision for where we all together want to go and agree on where we want to go and then construct a way with everyone around the table to get there.
Mm-hmm. Also, since you don't have any government experience, how are you going to learn the ropes before you take office?
I'm kind of glad I don't have any government experience. You know, I don't have experience with donors for multiple elections of mine. I'm not beholden to them. Don't have experience with lobbyists who have influence and who have been a part of my influential decision making. I don't have experience with that. I'm kind of glad. I think when our founders established this country, I think they really had in mind a government of the people, where people from outside government would inject themselves into the public square and address some of the greatest challenges that we have and then get back out. And the idea of career politicians was not something they had in mind. And that kind of experience, I think, actually is at some levels baggage. It's political baggage. And I think there's a real strength to fresh ideas from outside, from the private sector, from the nonprofit community. And so that's the kind of experience that I'm going to bring to the office.
And we'll get to the private sector ideas in a little bit. But just back to the earlier question about sort of learning the ropes. I mean, what is it that you don't know, and how do you get up to speed on those things?
Oh, you know, I don't know everyone that's in the legislature. I don't know all the lobbyists. I don't know the particulars about, you know, who goes where and how that works. I actually do think that allows me to come in with a real fresh perspective. Certainly the logistics of how to navigate through is something that I don't think that's a challenge. I think it's an opportunity for me, actually.
Well, how do you sort of, between now and if you're elected in January, get to that point where you're ready to hit the ground running?
Yeah, you lay out a strategy. You choose leaders. You put them around you. You determine what is most important from an agenda standpoint, what you want to get accomplished in this state. And then you begin to, just like you would, you know, in my business, I run a company of 1,200 employees. It's a $250 million revenue company. We go away every year and we do strategic planning. We decide where we want this company to be in 10 years or 15 years. And then we develop a strategy for how we can get there. Same would be true for me. As soon as this primary election is behind us and I begin to think about being the governor, I'm thinking about it now, certainly, but then more strategically planning how we're going to carry out the things that I think are important to every Tennessean, that's how we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. One thing that a lot of people observe, including Governor Haslam, who was a businessman before he went into politics, is that there is a real difference between being the boss of a company and being
no doubt
the head of government. So how do you learn to, how do you prepare for that dynamic?
Yeah, I think that is, again, what leadership is about. Whether, and as the as a person who has led a nonprofit organization, one of the largest in the state, or one of the largest construction industry organizations in the state, or just leading a company of a lot of different folks in a lot of different regions, leadership really is about bringing people together, casting a vision, setting a course, developing a strategy, and that would be true with the legislature as well. It, you know, people ask me all the time about the legislature. What do you think about that? I look forward to that challenge. I think we have a group of public servants in our legislature that want to serve, that have a real interest in the betterment of the people they serve, and that is a common interest that we would have, and I think we can work together to make Tennessee a better place for everyone.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, just to be clear, it's not just the legislature. There's also like the TBI director.
Yeah,
who's,
that's right.
Who's going to be a holdover. There's the courts. You know, there's a lot of people who you're going to be dealing with.
That's right.
That, you know, you don't appoint or are not directly answering to you. So how do you, in the sense, I mean, a business, everyone answers to you.
Well, actually, that's not true. I mean, in a business, you have banks, bonding companies, you have suppliers, you have vendors, you have customers. They're not answering to me at all. And so you have to develop a strategy that is a win for all of them and that makes it work for everyone. That's what you do in business. And so there's quite a bit of experience of not, you know, you're not the boss in business. You're the boss of your portion of it, but not the overall success of that company.
And one last thing about the business end of things. I mean, you've got, I think $14 million is the figure I've heard in terms of contracts with the state. How do you keep, what's your role going to be with the company? If you're elected governor,
yeah, I won't have a, you know, I will not be disconnected with the operations of the company. That $14 million.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I may be missing. Did you say you won't be?
No, I will own the company, but from a daily operation, I will be disconnected from that. That year, $14 million. That's over like a 5 or 6 year period. We have less than 1% of our contracts are with the state, and we'll terminate those contracts when I become governor.
Okay, and
because I want to make sure there's no opportunity at all for any kind of challenge there.
And you'll remain owner, but you will not be involved in the operations,
correct.
You said.
Okay. That's
and
right.
That maybe gets to the other question I had is how do you avoid the perception of a conflict of interest where even if you are trying to disassociate yourself from the company, people still are making those associations between Lee Company and you?
Yeah, well, if you don't have any contracts with the state, there's no opportunity for that to happen.
One of the things that's been a real hot topic throughout the Republican primary has been immigration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've talked about opposing sanctuary cities,
right.
A few other things like that. I mean, there are no sanctuary cities in this state, and the legislature's made very clear
right.
They're not going to allow them. So do you really feel like that's a real problem in Tennessee, that there's a real problem with illegal immigration in Tennessee?
Oh, I think illegal immigration is a problem in the country. I think we've seen that. It's a problem that has not been dealt with from the federal legislators or politicians in D.C. in Congress haven't addressed immigration and the challenges of immigration for many years. And so it is a problem in our state. What's a problem in the country? And what I've said before is we can make that problem better or worse in our state. It's a federal problem, the addressing immigration, and there will need to be federal solutions there.
So what at the state level can you do as
well,
governor?
You can either make Tennessee a more attractive place for illegal immigrants or not. Policies like in-state tuition or sanctuary cities, those are things that make Tennessee a more attractive place, and I don't think we should and I would oppose those type policies.
I mean, obviously are not policies in Tennessee now. Are there policies, are there things that are policies in Tennessee that you would want to reverse in terms of immigration to, you know, to make it, as you say, less attractive?
No,
to...
we have had a driver's license. They're not here today. There has been a repeated interest in in-state tuition for illegal immigrants here, and I would oppose those going forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I hear from immigrants, you know, as a reporter, both those, mainly those who are here legally and mm-hmm. maybe are citizens, is that mm-hmm. they feel like this rhetoric is very harmful to them.
Yeah.
You know, why should they support you for governor?
Yeah. Oh, legal immigrants are what made this country who we are, and we welcome and are. That's what America was founded on, is legal immigration. So we certainly welcome and support and are grateful for every person that comes to this country from another country legally.
So what do you say to those who feel like there's been blowback to them from the rhetoric in this campaign?
Yeah, wherever there's blowback there, we need to make certain that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't carry out. It's not carried out. Yeah, I don't know what blowback you're talking about. But
harassment, people saying that the ugly things in the street, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't need that to happen here. I mean, legal immigrants, people who are here legally, are welcomed and should there shouldn't be blowback. And where there is, we need to try to make certain it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. This is something that we kind of got at a little bit earlier, that about sort of getting up to speed. What do you see as the most challenging or pressing issues that you're going to have to face on day one as governor?
You know, I think I've traveled all over the state, and I think people want a good job. They want a good school for their kid. They want a safe neighborhood. And we don't have access to all of those in Tennessee. Everyone doesn't have access to those things in Tennessee. And those are the three things that are most important to me as a governor. We have 15 counties in poverty in Tennessee, as designated by the federal government, and about 25, 30 more that are at risk. Those are critically important segments of our population and economy that need to be addressed. We have challenges in the urban inner city that I'm familiar with because of my work in the inner city. So everyone doesn't have a good job. Our education system is in the bottom half of states in America, our public education system. Everyone doesn't have access to the type quality education that Tennessee children deserve, and we can't rest until they do. And public safety is critically important to everybody. Many have safe neighborhoods, but many don't. Our six largest cities have a violent crime rate higher last year than the year before. And those are critically important to every Tennessee, and those things would be focused for me from day one.
So jobs, education, public safety. Are there anything that you would do, that you would propose your first 100 days or so that would address those issues? Do you have an idea in your pocket that you can pull out right now?
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to do, you know, I'm an employer of skilled tradespeople. I have worked with men and women who are plumbers, pipe fitters, welders, electricians for all my adult career. In fact, we started a trade school 10 years ago and have educated 1,000 in skilled trades. I believe we've ignored vocational and technical education for decades in our public school system. We have 4 out of 10 kids in our state that don't go to college, and we currently do very little to provide pathways of success and opportunity for them. That's something I've been involved in my whole adult career, and I believe high school should look different. And from day one, that's going to be one of my primary focuses, is how do we create an education system that strengthens opportunities for children who aren't going to college. And we do that by creating a vocational, technical, and agricultural education segment in our public school systems that's much more robust than the one we have now.
So what does that look like as governor? What would you do then to develop that vocational educational
segment? One of the things I would do is engage the private sector in a greater way. Our company has a partnership with a public high school. You know, when industry is the beneficiary of workforce development and of an education system that is focused on this type training, if industry is going to be the beneficiary, then they should be engaged in the process. And I know that they would be welcome to do that just from my conversations with business leaders around the state. I look forward to, as a businessman, working with business leaders across the state to say, won't you engage with the public school system in your region to help develop curriculum, to help provide trainers, to provide provide equipment, to provide space? That's one component, utilizing the private sector and the nonprofit community to help facilitate this expansion of this portion of our education.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you're talking about is using the platform of the office to contact these companies and get them
right.
to partner with their local schools.
Right, and to make it easier for them to partner, to create opportunities for them to do that, to help facilitate that kind of partnership. Public-private, nonprofit partnerships are powerful, and government's role is to create an environment that allows for those partnerships.
All right, and just one last thing on this, and then I want to ask just a couple of issue questions. So if you could sum up your goals as governor in a sentence, what would that be?
It would be to allow the people of Tennessee to have access to a good job, a good school for their kids, and safe neighborhoods. Government can't provide any of those things, but it can create an environment for those to be provided. And that's the role of government, and that's part of the role of government, and that would be my hope.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.